Who the hell are you, man?
I am Venom. I'm just kidding. It's Dr. Michael Morbius at your service.
Let me turn it down a little bit so you can't hear.
A little bit so you can't hear Morbius in the background. Yeah. Did you like, Mike, did you like that the first name of the main character, Michael Morbius, was Mike?
No. Well, he was Michael. So
yeah, he was Michael. Okay. Yeah. Do you think the movie would have been better if he had been referred
Mikey.
To as Mike? Like, Mike! Quit being a vampire, Mike! Mike, stop biting people, Mike!
That's a horrible name for a vampire.
Yeah. My name is Mike. Let me introduce myself. I am Mike. I am Mike Johnson. Fear me.
From Pennsylvania.
From Virginia. Well, hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's good. I mean, this movie wasn't good, but I'm doing good.
No. This movie was not good. I as probably have gathered. We're talking tonight. Morbius, here on Script Ripper. This is a Please Make This Minisode. My name's Hobart.
I'm Mike.
And
I'm the Mike.
And we are not screenwriting professionals or even film scholars or whatever. We're just two idiots who like to take a movie we did not like the script of and rip it up and put it back together Frankenstein style to see if we can actually make a movie that we would have enjoyed.
Yeah, and I think...
And we have a lot of work to do.
Have a lot of work to do. I was going to say, like, in previous episodes of this, there's always been, like, elements from the movies that I liked that I thought we could use as a foundation to, like, fix them. And, like, this one... It's kind of devoid of like likable characters and structure.
It's got to be maybe the thinnest superhero movie I've seen in a long time.
The plot is like made out of wet paper towels.
It is so thin.
Yeah.
The whole movie, it felt like, I was thinking about it on the way over here, it felt like they made the movie based purely on the like elevator pitch, the treatment someone right. did. Because the whole movie just has this like weird rapid cadence with no details. Just like, yeah he's got a friend named Milo. They met in six kid school and he wants to cure a blood disease. He cures the blood disease and he becomes a vampire, and that's the first 15 minutes of the movie. Like all that shit jammed
it's
in
like
together.
Someone did coke and did a notes app idea for like a vampire movie. Yes. And then they're like that's that's the actual script, we're done.
Just everyone looking at like printouts of a notes app screen. Okay, we're gonna do scene two today. Scroll.
It just says Morbius is in the park.
it says Morbius does vampire stuff. Make it cool. What is that supposed to mean? Man, they really wanted this to be cool, though, huh?
Oh yeah, I mean, they wanted Morbius to be so smart and like dark. Oh wow.
Yeah,
that is his personality trait, is that he is smart
and dark.
Which we can get into it when we go through that.
Yeah, we're gonna get to it. Yeah, I mean, as we joked about, one of the most hilarious cliches they did in the first scene of the movie is that they introduced Michael Morbius as a kid playing chess by himself.
Yeah,
and we're supposed to insinuate he's a genius, and we were both like, he could be doing anything.
he might just be moving the pieces around. He doesn't know how to play.
He could be taking them one by one and putting them in his nose. Like, it does not demonstrate that he's smart.
No, but that's a good place to start though, because it like opens on him young. Morb kind of playing chess in I guess like the 80s or 70s, something like that. But him and this other kid are both suffering from blood illness, just like a generic
unexplained blood illness.
And then it's like maybe 2 minutes, and it's like literally the entire extent of like world building and backstory.
We see the first scene is them meeting for the first time, and then him saving his life. The second scene is him leaving the school. We see them meeting and then separating, and that is the extent of the backstory we're getting.
And they're supposed to be best friends / brothers.
And they bring it up all the time. Yeah. We're best friends.
Yeah.
We're brothers. Why?
Because it says it in the script. But then it like cuts forward in time.
Yeah.
And he's like rejecting a Nobel Prize, right?
Yeah.
Because he's, I don't know, he's just in it for the love of the game or something.
Well, he hasn't beaten his blood illness yet.
Right.
I think that's like the thing he wants to... Even though the Nobel Prize was not for... They don't give like a presumptive...
A
presumptive... We know one day you're going to get it, Michael, so we're giving the award now.
But then, you know, the script just, like, I'm sure it says a cut to, like, Bat Research Lab, Wuhan, California. Like, it's very, very interesting. Because his whole lab is just him doing, like, illegal bat research.
It is illegal bat research. To me, the most confusing scene in the movie is the dumb scene at the very beginning with the weird bat grid string setup that they set up outside
the
cave.
That makes no sense.
I thought for sure.
I rewatched that again this morning, and I still don't understand what was going on.
Can't believe that wasn't the origin story. No, I thought for sure it was like, the bats are going to fly through and activate some sort of machine that turns them into a vampire. No, that was an unrelated side quest for him to get bats to torture to death.
Harvesting bats, yeah.
So it was just like a net. It wasn't even like a cool piece of technology.
Yeah, no, it looked like it was, but it's just a net. A bat net, yeah. Because he has to harvest, whatever, hundreds of bats, I guess, to get their DNA.
Okay. That was so weird. And they made such a big part of that, that was a big deal of that in the trailer. That was like the whole setup shot for how cool this movie was going to be. Wow, man.
Awesome. But, you know, the research he was doing, I guess they didn't really say it's illegal. They just said, I don't know, what was it, just too twisted, too spicy?
I think it's definitely legal. I think because he wants to do like human research is basically what we're doing. Right. Yeah.
So because of that, they have to get a ship in international waters.
Yeah.
Staffed by Michael Morbius and his love interest, Martine Bancroft.
A character who has maybe six lines.
Yeah. And then it's like just the two of them and like eight dudes with machine guns on a boat.
Mm-hmm. And then we're actually watching this. The scene is on right now, huh? Perfect. And yeah, then he goes nuts. He morphs out and he kills all the guys. And conveniently, she gets hit in the head so that she can spend the next half hour of the movie not playing part of the plot. And then vampire shit from there the rest of the way.
He was such a toxic boss right now. He like kills all those dudes, which are technically his employees, right? I mean,
well, they're some sort of Russian gangsters that the Milo has won in a card game.
Because
we're supposed to insinuate that Milo like lives life on the wild side and does crime shit all the time.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not very. I mean, that whole character is.
This is the brother character Milo.
Matt Smith playing a smooth British guy.
He's another morb.
Oof, man. Fuck, man.
Yeah, but no, you're right. The rest of the movie is just like his brother discovering that it solves the blood issue and then obviously becoming the evil vampire, and then they're just fighting in CGI cutscenes for the rest of the film. And then the only other wrinkle is that there's two FBI agents played by Al Madrigal and Tyrese Gibson who are just kind of walking around looking like, damn, this dude got bit by a vampire, I guess.
Yeah.
And not contributing anything to the plot whatsoever.
Other than laughs and heavy air quotes.
Ooh, yeah. You know what? A lot of superhero movies, they try to get the quips in, and, you know, as mediocre as they are, once in a while you do get a laugh. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing.
Real rough here.
No, it was very dire.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's frustrating because you got two guys you could really work with. Do like a funny kind of...
I know. Like on the trail of a vampire, they could have like had way more to do. I don't know. They don't do anything with the plot. Like they could easily be just like find all delete for their lines. It would change nothing. But the movie just it has nothing. It's like it had thought of getting Michael Morbius to be a vampire, and then after that, it was like, I don't really know what to do now. And so they made up a villain for the movie, which never a good idea. Mm-hmm. Did not work out this time. Hasn't worked out in the past either.
Right.
And then the other thing that kind of struck me in the movie, the thing about afterward, the whole thing kind of takes place over a weekend. Like it moves so fast, even in the movie's own time. Uh-huh. Like Milo becomes a vampire. The next night they fight. The next night he kills him. Yeah. Boom. That is it. They wrapped it up by Monday. They're all going back to work.
That could work if, like, I don't know, I liked any of the characters, I guess.
Yeah. So, character's a problem.
Yeah.
Plot's a problem. Lack of humor was
villains,
a problem.
Villain's a problem.
I mean, we got a real stinker here.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, are there any things you liked about it?
No. Oh, wait. I like that when he flew around and shit, there was stink lines.
Yeah. So,
stink lines
so
in the color of whatever he's wearing.
So Morb has like echolocation, right?
And yeah, try to explain his powers.
Special developed ears that can like see... What is it? Sound? Like
I guess it's supposed to be the sound, but
it's supposed to look like sound, but Hobart's right. It looks like if you were to animate like a stench coming off of a person. And that's what he sees everyone in buildings as. Like he looks at the city.
Oh,
and
they
turn, like,
they just like turn to fart clouds. Yeah. He's looking for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, these waves come out from Morbius when he's using echolocation. It looks like just a very powerful heart blast that he uses to hear things.
He also, we're watching it right now, and I'm starting to laugh again looking at it. He gets a monster face.
Yes.
And when he turns back into regular Michael Morbius, you like watch him actively, like his nose like goes from like a fucking Lord Voldemort slit to being a human nose again. And you watch it like, what's the functionality of his nose getting smaller and bigger?
All that more air.
Like if he grew big teeth, whatever. But his little nose, he's just like.
It's so corny though, the effect. And it honestly reminded me of like, I don't know if you ever watched Buffy back in the day, but the vampire transformations back then. It's like. Just like okay, weird face.
And that was something that was a problem I had with this movie generally is I mean I really want the person who wrote this to explain to me what they think either Morbius is, because I don't really know. I never really read any of those comics or anything, and then what they think a vampire is.
Yeah,
because they were just kind of throwing random things in from like storybook culture, but also like this, like there was like a garlic allergy thing woven in, and his face gets monstery, but like otherwise he's just like a mad science experiment. Right. So I don't know why there's like a crossover of like kind of the mysticism monster effect.
Right.
Like, is he a monster or is he a science experiment?
Right.
What is he?
Well, I think if we were in our version, definitely we should lean into the science thing. The idea of a scientist bat or scientist
bat.
Vampire, science bat.
Science vampire is really good.
And maybe it should be more like, like The Fly or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause there were some scenes where he was like testing out his powers and stuff like that, kind of in a cheap imitation of something like The Fly, but. It could be like way grosser or something, you know. It's like
I think it should be.
He's
way
more
grosser.
Like a Batman.
I mean, this is an amazingly bloodless vampire movie.
Yes, right.
Like Michael Morbius, we're watching the scene right now where he's eating all the guys on the boat, and
there was a blood splatter effect on the camera.
The weakest blood splatter effect, like you're playing one of those arcade games where you have to point outside the screen to reload your gun, and a zombie's attacking you. Blood level.
Look
at this
crisis.
He's killed. He's killed 15 guys, mm-hmm. and his chin looks like he just had a little bit of jam. That's it. He got a little too sloppy with the toast. And then he turns back. You're right. Like one thing is I think that there's this bullshit of him switching back and forth. I don't know. You like that? Okay, so what we're talking about is we're ditching Morbius entirely.
Right.
Which I have no problem with.
Yeah.
And also just to get to it before we forget to mention it, the end credits scene that ties it back into the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
What was that? That was really dumb.
So it brings back Michael Keaton's character as
the Vulture,
because there was something that happened at the time in another Spider-Man movie where all the villains from all the different multiverses come back into this universe.
Yeah, I get that, but why did the scene, was it him reappearing after whatever that little side adventure was, and then them announcing, well, you're going to be released from prison, and then him being released from prison and they gave him a...
Oh, no, that makes no sense. I have no idea.
And then he immediately puts on his super suit, which I guess
there were two after credit sequences in this thing, and it was for the same subject.
It was, yeah.
Same thing happening. It's very confusing.
It was like, it shows it like 1 month later after the credits is over. So there was a two-parter weird credit post sequence. So that's gone. I mean, that's just gone. I just wanted to bring it up because I wanted someone to maybe explain it to me.
No, I can't help you there.
Nope. Sorry. I did love that is a all-time favorite superhero movie bit though, is when a villain gets out of prison and immediately has their outfit back.
Oh yeah.
It's like they like give it back to him, like it's the beginning of Blues Brothers, and they're like, oh, the Vulture, here you go. One set of flying wings and a super helmet. Yeah. Take it. Hey, you're not gonna do crimes with those, right? No. You don't go team up with Morbius, okay? Keep your nose clean, man.
Which also, it's like, so this is like a villain origin story?
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be rooting for them?
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Well, I guess the villain origin story is at the end of the film, which we have not gotten to yet either. He has to kill Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Matt Smith kills Jared Harris, who's the doctor who took care of him.
Right.
And then he thinks that Matt Smith killed Bancroft, the doctor. But we find out at the very last moment
she morbed up.
She
as
morbed
well.
Too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the Bancroft. I like that they all have to have their last name.
Yeah.
And also Milo, another shitty name for a vampire.
Ridiculous.
Shit. So how are we gonna salvage this thing?
I like making it creepier and spookier. Maybe.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like
because
that a lot.
This is very much like. All the action scenes are just like puffing around in things of smoke going super fast. And yeah. It's like it's too much. Like,
and we've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah. Like yeah. Slow it down. Make these like some yeah. creepier, bloodier. I'm not saying go full Bram Stoker, but that's a good direction. I think.
I honestly kind of think we should. Yeah. I mean, I would like it if this movie just took some sort of stance for something. Yeah. Other than please think that this is as cool as Spider-Man.
Right.
Or Venom, which is what I really felt like. He references Venom at one point.
Makes a Venom joke.
Is that a new Marvel rule that you have to have like a joke in there referencing the IP?
Yeah, probably.
Because Eternals did that too. Uh-huh. They're like, hey, Iron Man, like you dressed really fancy or whatever.
And also, we've said before, never reference a better movie in a movie. And ironically, Venom is like way better than
by
this.
The barest of definitions. At least that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, Mike. Mm-hmm. I wanted this movie actually to be either longer or another movie. Like,
you mean just a completely different movie?
No, like two movies, because it was just so crammed and so fast-paced and so brief with the details. Like, it was really hoping you were just, like, going to fucking keep up. Just, like, pay attention, man. You know, wait, don't waste your time thinking about this scene. We're moving on to the next scene, okay?
Yeah.
He's a vampire now. Get over it. Let's move on. He now knows how to use powers perfectly, flawlessly. He's that fucking smart. Let's go to the next scene, okay?
Yeah, you know, this isn't even a Coke movie, because it's not having fun. It's like an Adderall movie.
Yes,
like, they're trying
to just
do homework just to get this out there so they can link it into another property.
You can feel like the gun barrel that Sony's pointing at them, like pressing it to their back, and they're like, oh god, I gotta Morbius as fast as possible.
Gotta pass this morb.
I mean, is there no better example of that than the fact that they, when everyone started making fun of it online, they re-released this movie.
Yeah.
And
it made like $83,000 in the weekend. Horrible.
And then they've already greenlit the sequel and presented a working script to Jared Leto, and he was showing it off online because I guess he doesn't get social cues that everyone's laughing at him, not with him. And it's like, how fast are they churning the morb?
Is the factory the wheels gotta turn, man?
And then the prototype is being spewed out, and they're like, this is morb, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, this is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
this is a cardboard cutout of Dracula, and you're like, isn't this the coolest vampire you've ever seen?
The morbs are off.
The morbs are off.
The morbs are fucked.
I mean, we got to keep the name Michael Morbius. That's one rule I would do.
Yeah.
Because I do like that he said that his name's Morbius.
Do you like keeping the brother, Milo?
Ah, man, you got to give him something a lot different to do.
The thing is, you need a villain.
Yeah. But why can't the villain... here's one idea I had earlier was, what if this was a quieter, more pensive Morbius? Mm-hmm. A tale of a man who gives himself vampirism by curing his own blood disease. Mm-hmm. And then he balances his life of killing people to drink their blood with his work healing people at the hospital. Constantly trying to come to terms with the monster that he is, or convince himself that he's a hero.
A real Dr. Acula.
Yeah, real Dr. Acula.
Wow.
Yeah, right? That's the, you know, I want a Morbius that'll win an Oscar. That's
right.
What I want.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, I like that. Slow it way down.
Slow it way down. Yeah, like yeah. This is like the English Patient of Marvel movies.
Right. The one thing that conflicts with that is making it maybe more like The Fly, where more body horror, because that could be another element as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, because they did do this one close-up of his gross ears when he turns into, like, a vampire, and I like, you know, doing that kind of stuff.
Well, what if we keep the thing, how about this, we'll keep the thing that we don't really like that much, where he can't appear like a normal person, but when he's morbed out... when he's in the act of morbing,
right?
He begins to look like a monster. Another thing that he has to come to terms with, because it's harder and harder for him to switch back and forth.
Oh, maybe he has to choose one by the end. Because there you go.
Will he be the creature of the night?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
And you know he will.
You know he has to, because ultimately, if we want this character to be a villain, he has to ultimately turn bad.
Right.
The corruption.
And then you can get a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation, because you have a love interest there who can like the by day Michael Morbius.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a night girlfriend.
Yeah. Yes, his nighttime side chick. yeah, okay, that's good. That's so much better.
Yeah.
And you can even have the same kind of outcome to prepare us for Morbius 2, where he accidentally kills Bancroft and makes her a vampire. And then in the second movie, you actually have a conflict worth exploring, which is now there's a second vampire.
Right.
And it's someone that he really, like, we've seen him actively engaging with in the movie, instead of we introduce two characters and say, they're best friends, trust us.
So he has pressure from the one side of his life coming down, which is his normal life, right?
As a
And he's doing research and stuff like that. Best doctor in the world. And then the other half of his life, which is he has a vampire and he has to like feed on blood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you have to have some kind of antagonist, like some kind of vampire hunter, or you could do the two cops coming after him.
The two cops. That actually gives them a reason to exist. Yeah.
They could be like two cops turning into vampire hunters.
This could be like the origin story
of like a vampire hunter. Like if one of them survives, you know, they become the vampire, the serious vampire hunter for the next
film. And there's your funny parts, too, because they are hunting a vampire using the methods as described in books and shit.
Right.
But he's just a science experiment gone wrong.
So
like showing him a cross, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm Jewish. Stop.
Morbius, the Jewish vampire.
Oy vey, it's Morbius, even.
Also, he should go by Mike.
Yeah, he goes by Mike. Yeah. He goes by Mike, too. Yeah, he definitely goes by Mike.
I love that with the two, with the detectives, though, like the Al Madrigal and Tyrese Gibson. Keep them. They're great actors. You could give them great material to work with.
Yeah, they were struggling in this movie.
They were given nothing.
Al Madrigal really was trying to be funny, but there was nothing funny to say. So it was like he was just saying everything sarcastically. Yeah, looks like there's been a vampire attack.
It's like, okay, yeah.
It does look like that, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Let him write his own stuff. He'll be fine.
Yes, exactly. Give him a little room.
Yeah.
See if he had two little films. Improv.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing too. We're not pitching a Morbius franchise. We're pitching a two-part long-form story.
Yes.
The Rise of Morbius and the Fall of Morbius.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's great.
So much better. Yeah. And so we see him rise up and cure his illness slowly and in a way that isn't fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then he has to balance his life of being a monster by the night and a doctor by the day.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, another thing I think would be fun is that he realizes, much like another vampire, he is functionally immortal.
Right.
And we see like a long period of time elapse. We actually feel the time.
Hmm. Like, how long are you thinking?
Like 100 years.
Whoa.
And then like Bancroft gets bit too. And so they're like, you know, now it's starting to get to that.
How long is this? We got to be able to keep some characters.
Well, the second movie has the 100-year jump. No one will see it coming. There's been no time skips in the entire film.
Right.
And halfway through part two, it says 100 years later.
That's amazing, actually. Yeah,
because then we just see it. They are forever doomed to
a 100-year conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah. On again, off again, maybe.
Yeah.
Like relationship.
Yeah. And the grandson of Al Madrigal and Tyree is like
grew up to be a vampire hunter. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, their grandson? Like they adopted a kid together? Like police partners. We might as well like raise a kid together.
Well, they found like the order of the broken fang, and they're like, adopt children to train them to be vampire hunters.
Yeah. That's great.
And, we're more of an out now.
Yeah. But it could be like more like scientific vampire hunters.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Blade situation.
Because they finally figure out what he actually is.
Right.
And they realize that, garlic and fucking crosses ain't going to do it.
Right. Got to put the science behind it. Yeah. Because he's a Jewish, but he's very powerful.
Your crosses have no power over me. And they're like, oh, we got you this time, Morbius. And here comes a giant Star of David. He's like, nah. And they throw it like a throwing star, and they kill him, and that's how the movie ends.
Nice.
And then Outer Magical says something really funny, like, looks something, Jesus sent this one out. Yahweh did it. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I think this is going good. One thing that I would just like to bring up is I think there was one thing what was it during the film when I mentioned doing the self-suck as a vampire?
Oh, yeah. Like, he has the self-suck. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
why don't you explain what self-suck is?
So as a vampire, he was like really hungry for something. Mm-hmm. And then he like accidentally cut his hand on something. And he had like blood coming out of his fingers. Like, why doesn't he just suck? Give himself a little sucker Duchiliano.
Sucker Duchiliano.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's not like that is his, you know what I mean? Like, you should be able to drink some of your blood as like energy.
This is the exact same energy someone would approach talking about sucking your own dick. You realize it's like, I got a dick, and like,
I'm just saying,
if I suck it,
it's an interesting concept. I'm just putting it out there for maybe the second film.
that he has to self-suck to survive.
Yeah, I think it's mostly based on...
That he,
we can cut this part.
No. I really like exploring. I mean, like, you want more body horror in this.
Yes.
And I do think if we want more body horror, he's going to do weird shit like that.
Right.
And I also agree that as this movie was super bloodless, ours should be super bloody.
Oh, gross. It should
really
be gross.
Buckets,
I'm talking about
man.
Squibs growing off.
Fuck it. Oh, yeah.
Rivers.
Whenever he bites someone,
just like spray.
Yeah. We like the What We Do in the Shadows thing. Right. It's like he always heard he bites someone, like a fountain shoots out of their neck.
So much cooler.
Yeah, it's way cooler. I don't know why they didn't do that in this movie.
He's like slashing people's throats in this, and it shows you nothing. They just like fall. They're like, oh. It's an old Western when people get shot, and you're just like,
oh. Yeah. There's a bunch of railing deaths. Everyone he bites falls over railings. Yeah, no, it's incredibly bloodless. I mean, especially like, you know, the whole thing at the end was supposed to be that he was going to give Milo like a heart attack drug that froze his blood or whatever. And he injects him with it. And this, you know, in Blade, that exact same scenario happens where they give him like a shot that fucks up their blood.
Right.
And the vampires explode, turn into ooze, a lot of cool shit.
Right.
Matt Smith is just like, oh, brother, you stabbed me.
Yeah.
Good. And that's it.
And if you want to tie this to the rest of the universe, which this is in the Blade universe, and they do supposedly interact in the comics or something like that, you could have a little Blade cameo. Maybe he's like helping the other vampires out or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I you know, the first thing I always want to do in all these script rippers is immediately lose the IP.
Right.
Except for that, I do want the name. I'll buy the name. It's got to be Mike Morbius.
Yeah.
Jewish vampire. All right. One thing I wanted to discuss, I think we need for this idea. Number one thing that I want gone for this movie is, of course, Jared Leto.
Right.
Who is Michael Morbius?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah, right? We'll keep everyone else. Everyone else can stay in our version of Michael Morbius. Mike Morbius, Jewish vampire.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
I know. It's hard, right? I mean, who you want him to be, like, vampire-y, so they got to be kind of like, you know, darkly sexual.
Pasty,
yeah.
Too.
Lithe.
Yeah.
You know? Paul Rubens.
Oh, wow. Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet is only better than Michael Morbius. Yeah. Or than Jared Leto, sorry.
Yeah.
He's just such
he's
a
kind of like
actor.
A lithe, you know, little pasty boy.
Yeah. I want someone like a little...
More weathered?
Not weathered, but like a little tougher seeming. I don't know. I don't know Timmy.
Michael
Timmy.
Sarah?
Yeah.
I'm not serious.
I mean, but
that.
Michael Cera, you feel like he's going to like toss a wisecrack, you know? Mm. At least do that to stand up for himself. Timothy Chalamet, every time I see him, he's just sort of silently standing. Mm. Like it seems to be that's a big part of his acting style.
Right. It's all stance based.
Glowering.
Yeah.
Like, look at that sand. Look at that dune. That's a dune, baby. I just don't know enough new actors or anything, really. How do you do taxes, Mike?
You get a guy.
Nice.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, he's too old. He's also kind of a creep, too.
Mm.
Trying to decreep this movie.
Joaquin Phoenix,
okay. Following up playing the Joker by playing the Morb.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, that's true. He's already been in the universe. Maybe that wouldn't work.
No, it's a different universe, man.
Yeah.
He's always already been in a universe. We wanted someone who's universe fresh.
Hmm.
I don't disagree with little Timmy Chalamet.
Right.
Or, Adrian Brody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Adrian Brody, maybe.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. Because you want someone that's kind of like, you know, The Fly. You want someone that's kind of a little bit of Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
A little odd, a little off.
Yeah, a little off. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which, speaking of the girl Morb, you could have Anna Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
Remember from The Northman?
Yeah.
She's like a little...
Yeah, she could be. Yeah, she could be. She goes.
She gives me vampire vibes.
She could go. She gives you vampire vibes. I mean, I couldn't even judge the vampire vibes of Bancroft in the movie because, oh my god, they gave that character nothing to do.
Yeah,
like
that's true. Just keep that character. You could figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
we could give her another chance. Let her be a vampire this time.
Right.
And Adrian Brody will be stepping in. Mr. Leto will be pushed out of a moving car.
Mm-hmm.
Then Adrian gets to fly around. Have stink lines stay. Yeah. Stink lands Tuesday.
What about one of the Culkins?
Oh, yeah. Kieran Culkin. I mean, a much different direction. I think that would be cool. Yeah. Yeah. Or Macaulay Culkin.
Sure.
Either bring, Culkin boys. Yeah, someone a little funky.
Both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Put them both. Yeah. Yeah. When he turns into Morbius, he looks like Kieran Culkin. And then when he turns into Mike, he looks like Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. Okay, cool. Perfect. I like this a lot.
Never been done.
No, it's never been done. It's perfect. We should also give Jared Harris something more to do because he also had very little to do.
He's a great actor. He's such a great actor. I really like him.
I mean, I'm glad he got a paycheck off of this, but goddamn. Yeah. We had to be on set for like 2 days.
Yeah. And also, he didn't really have a purpose. Like, I know he was the doctor in the beginning and then he was their benefactor. Also, there was like a 30-year time jump and he didn't age. They didn't even try.
I thought he was going to be a vampire. Like by the way, Michael, I'm a real vampire. I've been the one this whole time. That's why I look the same as I did in the 70s. Oh, yeah. These scenes suck. Oh, man.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, I think that we have a good vision going forward.
Yeah, I think we do, too. Yeah, do we keep the name Morbius? What's Morbius part? Do you want to do Morbius, Rise of Morbius, and Morbius 2, for Fall of Morbius?
You should just do... You erase this one from existence. You just call it, Mike Morbius.
Mike Morbius, Jewish vampire.
Jewish vampire. Yeah. And the second one is,
Dead like and Loving
Fall
It.
Fall of the Morb, or... Oh, Dead and Loving It?
Dracula comedy. two cups of blood. Morbius 2.
Fistful of bats.
Morbtubius. I also, by the way, really hate that they have grabbed onto the joke of it's Morbin time. Yeah. And I swear to God, if he says this, it's Morbin time in the second movie...
Was it going to be worse than this one?
I guess not. Yeah, the bar is like on the fucking floor. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mike, you feel good about this one?
Because
like in
much,
the past,
yeah,
it feels like we fixed a movie and mm-hmm. you've made one that you actually liked.
Yeah.
Do you like this one?
Yeah, I do. I would definitely. I'll be happy about this one.
Okay. Well,
it's a tough task, but I think we did it.
I think we did it. I think we did it. This movie needs to have its Adderall subscription revoked, and it needs to
smoke some more pot.
Smokes this? Yeah, you know what? Ours is going to be a Morbius who smokes weed. it's Michael Morbius.
He finds out
he finds that
he can't get drunk anymore because he's a vampire, but he can smoke weed.
He can't smoke weed.
He can get fucking blasted.
There's no rule because he can't smoke weed. Those are rapidly turning into Seth Rogen should play the vampire. All right. Well, I think that we have conquered the Morb. We've pondered the Morb, and now we're ready to move on. Thanks for tuning into this. Please make this mini-sode. I'm Hobart Thompson, and we'll be back next week with a brand new full episode of Please Make This. So stay tuned for that. Mike?
Morb later.
Morb you later. Morb yourself. Self suck. All right.
Good night.
Bye.